Oh, baby, I'm speaking into this mic. Ooh, yeah. Stan Lee cameos, nerd stuff.
All right.
Chris Hardwick.
No, not Chris Hardwick. He's been canceled.
Has he not even tweeted again yet? Is he just like going to do his Talking Dead show? And
I don't know. He doesn't do a podcast anymore.
It wasn't even called Nerdist anymore. It was like
ID10 something.
ID10T. IG88 something.
IG88 was a formidable foe.
In Shadows of the Empire.
In Shadows of the Empire. You bet he was.
I could not beat him. That's where I shut the game off.
It's a junk pile. You're fighting a boss in a junk pile.
And it's like immediately after that train mission.
Oh, that train mission.
Where it takes like an hour just to... Oh, God, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I can still hear the music.
It's so tense.
Well, welcome to Pop Culture Man, Children, Ven.
Oh, my God. I'm in the nerd cave.
Thanks for coming on short notice. Emilio was going to record today, but he's been very sick.
Ah.
He has been vomiting. He has some sort of a stomach issue. So we wish him well, and he'll be on the show soon.
All right. Too much gabagool.
So this is a mini-sode.
Okay.
Imagine a regular episode. But a little bit smaller.
Oh, it's fun size.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bite-sized episode. It's a little appetit. So today's mini-sode is... I asked you, Ashley, what would be a fun thing to talk about. And what did you say?
Underrated cartoons from the 80s and 90s.
Underrated cartoons. I'm all about it because listeners to PCMC know that I've been going through an animation phase. I read a biography of Walt Disney. I've been watching a lot of Disney. Now I've moved to an 80s. I'm reading a book right now about cartoons in the 80s.
In the book, does it say where his head is?
Oh, Walt Disney is buried. No, I'm sorry. He was cremated.
What?
Yeah, he was never frozen. I don't know where that comes from.
Show me the ashes.
I think the ashes are in a mausoleum. In just some place in Florida or something.
I don't believe it. This is like when we killed Bin Laden. Like, we need to see...
Oh, you believe that was a real Bin Laden? Anyway. So, yeah, I've been thinking about animation a lot lately. And I thought about it. I came up with three that I feel are underrated. But I have to preface this by saying I went and looked them up, and they're bad. So, okay. It's really the nostalgia I had for them.
Mm.
Looking at them now... For the first time, it was like the kind of thing. It was like, yeah, I love that, but I couldn't think of one plot or one story.
Okay.
So thinking about it now, especially because we were sticking to an older time period, I've got some what I think are interesting gems, but I don't know if I watch them today, I would like them at all.
I've got one. My first one is just going to be one.
Yeah.
And the second one, I have a tie.
You have a tie.
And then the third one is a grouping of three.
Holy shit! Well, I guess you should go first.
Okay, so the first
one... Wait a second, I haven't even introduced you. You're Vin Forte. This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. This is a podcast about fandom and popular culture and fun and about people talking about things. But we're not talking about it in a negative way. If you want that shit, take it over to the fucking Captain Marvel...
oh, my God.
Rotten Tomatoes page, right? We're all about love at Pop Culture Man Children.
Goose hating here.
No. Nope.
Why would you hate... Why would you even have all the things to hate about that movie?
Hate the cat. I know.
Why would you hate Goose? It's a cat named Goose.
My guest is Vin Forte. We're talking about cartoons. Vin.
Yeah.
Take it away.
What's my first cartoon? My first cartoon... is from, I believe, 1993. I'm just going strictly from nostalgia.
I wonder if we have the same one, because I have, like, two from 93.
Mine is The Twisted Tales of Felix the Cat.
No, not what I have, but tell me about it. What's Twisted, really?
Yeah, you should... I should make you look up the intro to it right now, because it tells you everything you need to know about it.
Okay, well, tell me about it, and I'll edit it into the show.
Yeah.
it's basically like one of those things where they said, hey, remember Felix the Cat from like the 1950s?
Sure.
Let's basically make that in the 90s, but mix it with like Rocco's Modern Life.
So was it extreme?
It was a little extreme, but more like surreal.
Wait, as you're talking about this, I think I'm remembering it. Was this a Saturday morning joint? Yes, it was
CBS.
CBS, I think I remember this. So what was its sort of aesthetic?
Its aesthetic was, which I guess was a big aesthetic around that time in the late 80s, early 90s, was sort of taking a 1950s, 60s aesthetic and like warping it and making it weird. Like they'd still do plot lines where like, oh, this episode, Felix is going to be a private eye. But okay, there would be like weird villains with like giant cyclops creatures and weird like bendy animation.
Okay, I like that. That reminds me a little bit of the Paul Rudish Mickey cartoons they've been doing for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's actually very in line with the Twisted Tales of Felix the Cat.
Because it's like kind of like the 20s Mickey, but very, very modern or postmodern.
Yeah, it basically, the animation style, they kept it very like, the biggest reference point now would be Cuphead.
Okay, I was thinking Bendy and the Ink Machine.
That's very close too.
Similar, yeah, yeah. Cuphead's a good... Have you played Cuphead, by the way?
Cuphead's amazing.
I've heard it's punishingly hard.
It's not, I mean, it's not punishingly hard. It's just a lot of people were expecting it to be a platformer, and it's more like a boss rush game.
Okay, okay.
So you're just, like, playing a little bit of a level, and then, like, the main gist of each level is, like, the big boss.
Okay. I'm playing a game similar to that, which I'll talk about in the next episode.
Oh my god, teasing already.
I know. That's how we do it in the biz, in the show biz. You know, it's 90% biz, 10% show. So that sounds really good. I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
Here's a side question. Why do you think some things get remembered and some things get forgotten? Let me make that question more clear. I don't mean everything in the world. I mean Saturday morning cartoons. Why do we go like He-Man, G.I. Joe, blah, 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 but no one talks about Twisted Tales of Felix the Cat?
Because I didn't have any Felix toys.
So you think toys is the big thing?
I think toys is the big thing. I think saturation. Like, He-Man was probably on all the time.
He-Man had an insane amount of episodes. I've been reading about He-Man in this
book. Oh, they would just crank it out.
Yeah, the book that I'm reading right now is called Rise and Fall of the 80s Toon Empire, a behind-the-scenes look at when He-Man, G.I. Joe, and Transformers ruled the airwaves by Jason Waguspek, Ph.D. And it's a history book. He says in the preface, like, this is about cartoons, but we're going to talk about toys because you can't talk about 80s.
Yeah.
And you're kind of right, like, the sort of, to give you the brief history, and I know you know, but to give the audience, like, the brief history of what the 80s was all about in terms of cartoons was, you had, in 1964, they made a Hot Wheels animated series that only lasted, I think, one season, and everybody complained to the FCC, and people were really upset about it. They were like, this is just a blatant commercial for toys. After that, it became a toxic thing where no one wanted to do toy properties on networks. So that was 1964. Cut to the 80s, now we have basic cable, now we have UHF independent stations popping up everywhere, and these people need content. They're dying for content. So this is when you get first run syndication. Syndication is when basically you sell shows that have already existed through a network, and you sell the, you know, the repeats, as you would call them, to the independent stations. But first run syndication is when, almost like a movie, you produce the show or as many episodes you want on your own, then go, and at the time in the 80s, it was like literally like there was a conference, so it was basically like a marketplace where like people would be standing in booths like, hey, you want to buy some He-Man? You want a couple episodes of He-Man? Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, yeah, it's like, because some shows I feel are synonymous with like Fox Kids and WB.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, you throw out something like, what channel was Inspector Gadget on?
Exactly. And Inspector Gadget and He-Man started at the same time. He-Man was much more successful.
Yeah, it's like, I remember loving Inspector Gadget, but I'm sure it was on like five different networks.
Right. And depends on, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn. You grew up in Staten Island. So we might have had different channels that he was on. Yeah, it was sort of like you didn't know if it was new or old. You didn't know when it was, or it was just nebulous. It was just sort of always there.
Yeah, like Inspector Gadget. I keep going back to Inspector Gadget as an example. But like, you said that premiered around the same time as He-Man.
Yeah.
Could have fooled me. That show lasted like 10 years.
Yeah.
Even though it probably only had like 60 episodes or something.
Right. Well, typically, also going back to the Hot Wheels thing, the whole reticence about toy-related properties, that was just gone. Because Reagan was in office, Reagan appointed a new head of the FCC, and the head of the FCC at that time was anti-regulation, which is definitely who you want in charge for a regulatory body.
Yeah.
And you had all of these, you know, He-Man was based on a toy line, Strawberry Shortcake came from an America's greeting cards.
Mm.
Care Bears came from America's Greetings, too. Transformers was toys. And basically, a lot of these 80s cartoons were also toy properties. And basically, the shows were to sell the toys. But we have a lot of love and affection for them because there were artists behind it. And as the author of the book I'm reading says, it was a weird contradictory time because they were both free and not free. They were not free in the sense that they had toy companies telling them what they had to do. But they were free in the sense that they had no network notes. The head of Filmation, Lou Scheimer, he had done work with the networks before He-Man. And he said, I couldn't do He-Man at the networks because I tried to do He-Man at the networks. And they said, we don't want any of your pro-social bullshit. Because the Lou Scheimer was very, like, anti-violence, which people think about He-Man, you think, oh, it was so violent, that's what everyone protested. It's actually not. It's very, like, hippie. Especially when you look at the comics that came with the original toys, He-Man's a fucking savage murdering people. So, going back to what you're saying, Felix the Cat, I don't remember any toys for him.
No.
Which is probably why he's not remembered.
Exactly. Like, there were tons, like, think of any cartoon that didn't have a toy line.
Yeah.
And you probably just don't remember that cartoon.
I was just thinking the other day about, and this isn't one of my answers, but I was just thinking the other day about the Toxic Avengers or Toxic.
They had toys.
Yeah. I love those toys. And it only had a 13-episode run.
Yeah, but you remember that more than Felix because they had toys.
He-Man's first run, 65.
Wow.
That's 5 a day for 13 weeks. And then season 2 was 65. And it just, there's a million episodes of He-Man.
Oh, my God.
All right, my first pick, and I don't have them in any order, but this is the first one that came to my mind, from the gentle year of 1993.
Ooh.
From CBS.
Let me guess. Does this involve bugs?
No, it doesn't involve bugs.
CBS in 1993. Is this the updated version of He-Man?
No.
Oh, my God, what is it?
This is a little program that was the rare anthology show for kids.
Oh my God.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Oh.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper. Get it right. Although it's the same producers, same production company.
See, I vaguely remember that. What I remember more is the Crypt Keeper's Haunted Mansion.
Which was basically,
it was basically Nick Arcade, but like with the Crypt Keeper aesthetic.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. Or
like there were like 3D elements.
Right.
Like what was green the screen OMAC stuff. Oh, that was Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that, too. It was a game show on CBS with Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
This was an animated series. I actually watched a pilot today, which is called While the Cat's Away. And the pilot's very weird. Well, first of all, it doesn't have violence in it. Mm. It doesn't have blood in it. It's a kid show.
Yeah.
The opening titles are, it's the same theme from the HBO show. Not the exact same recording, but it's the same theme done in a different way. And it's the same guy who voices the Crypt Keeper from the HBO show. Although he doesn't look like himself. He looks like green. And he's like,
yeah, they made him kid friendly.
Yeah, he doesn't look like the Crypt Keeper from HBO, but he is. And he's making quips, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, and he's going on a vacation. And the pilot is, two kids, they want to get a motorbike, but they can't afford it. Their dad is a no good, what is he? A travel agent. If kids ask your grandparents about a travel agent. Imagine if...
my dad sells timeshares.
Imagine if Travelocity.com were a person. So they find out Mr. Rich Guy is going away. So they're like, oh, here's what we do. We break into his house. We steal something valuable. We sell it.
Oh,
and then we got that motorbike. And by the way, it's so 93. They keep having fantasies of them with the motorbike. And he's like, think about the motorbike. And you see the kids on the motorbike, and one goes, hasta la vista, baby. 1993, hello. And wouldn't you know, in the house is spooky. You got a Frankenstein monster in the house. What? You got a Dracula in the house. You got a werewolf. Everything. Everything. Because the pilot is what the intro is. The intro is just a cut version of the pilot. So they threw everything. But it tells you a lot about the series where, you know, the HBO fucking... The HBO Test with Crypt would be like an episode where, what was the episode with, I think, Jeffrey Tambor, where he's with Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And she marries him because he's a big slob and is a piece of shit. And she marries him because a psychic tells her that a relative will die. One of his relatives will die and he'll inherit a lot of money. So she marries him, but she can't take living with him anymore. And then she wins the lotto. So she's like, fuck this guy, I'm out of here. And she goes to leave him, but he murders her. But when she dies, he inherits the money she owned. Irony, satire.
Oh, shit.
And then he goes to the chair. That's not in the kids' cartoon.
No, neither is the episode of Don Rickles.
Oh, that's such a great one, where he's got, like...
the ventriloquist dummy?
But it's really, like, his brother.
Yeah.
Who is a... What do you call that? Like, he's a twin that's not fully formed, so it's like he's on his hand.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Well, that's not what goes on.
That's not in the kid's show either.
Yeah, it's more Dracula's and stuff. It was a cool aesthetic. It was purpley and orangey and green.
It was. I put it in the same league as, I guess this could be an honorable mention, as the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego cartoon.
Yes, yes. The backgrounds had a sort of EC comic look, but not the characters themselves. They were kind of cheapo animation. But it was cool. It actually had three seasons, two on CBS, and then...
Then with the Fox, I want to say?
No, actually. No. Oh, okay. First of all, it was made by Nelvana, which is a Canadian company. So it was made in Canada.
Makes sense.
Two on CBS, and then like 4 years later, one on ABC. And they called out the new Crypt Keeper.
Oh, I don't know.
And
like
he looked a little bit more... It was a weird thing. Because I don't think it stopped in Canada, but it kept going in America.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it had... By the way, let me read you the producers that are listed for Tales from the Crypt Keeper. You ready for this? Oh, John Cassier is the guy who voiced the Crypt Keeper.
He voiced him, and he also voiced Buster Bunny.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Robert Zemeckis, Walter Hill, all the people that were the producers of the HBO show. But imagine Walter Hill, fucking 70s movie director, brings you this cartoon. So that was my first one. You can find the pilot on YouTube.
I'm sure they're aching to take that down any day now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so for my number two, I have a tie.
Oh, shit.
And this may be debatable for some people, whether this is like a forgotten cartoon, both of these.
Well, our younger listeners will have no fucking idea what any of this is.
That's true.
They could go and find it all.
Now, when people think of the DC animated universe, they immediately think of Batman.
You fucking bet. The Paul Dini-verse.
Paul Dini-verse. But more and more, I feel like people are forgetting about how good Superman was.
Yes. Da, da, da.
And
dun, dun, dun.
because it came out a little later, I think people sleep on Batman Beyond.
You know, I don't know if I've watched Batman Beyond, the movie with the Joker in it.
That's really good.
Where it's this twist ending. But I haven't seen any of Batman Beyond, the series.
The series is good. It's one of those shows where if you get sucked into it, you could end up watching a bunch of it and going, oh, this is actually pretty good.
How was the new Batman? Was he like a little shit, or was he...
He was. It was a good dynamic because he would sort of work with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Wayne was sort of the old man, like, still in the Batcave. Like, he was sort of new Batman's Lucius Fox.
Okay,
I see. Where he would, like, sit in the Batcave and, like, go on a computer and be like, oh, Terry, fly to the... Yeah.
You know they're making a movie of it, right?
I hope so. Time will have come.
It's animated, though. It's basically DC source into the Spider-Verse and went, oh, we need one of those.
Good. Just don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up, DC.
Don't make it too gritty.
Please, DC, don't...
Batman Beyond does not need to be gritty. The style... They could do a lot with the style in it. Because the style of Batman Beyond was, what, like 50 years in the future or something?
Yeah.
So it was... That sort of gothic, like, Bruce Tim Burton style.
Yeah.
But updated with, like, an almost, like, Blade Runner-y touch. Yeah, enough.
But let's talk about Superman, because I watched, I think, all of that.
Yeah,
And that had a gay character in it. It was very, very subtle.
Oh, is it Livewire?
No, it was, I think, some police, not Commissioner Gordon, but somebody who's part of Gotham PD.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Wasn't it one of Luther's henchmen? Like one of his female henchmen?
No, I'm thinking of somebody else. But she might have also been...
Maybe they had a couple.
Brad Garrett is Bilbo Lobo.
Oh, yeah, he was Lobo. That's right. And Gilbert Gottfried as Mr. Mixa Spitlick.
Yes, so good. So good.
Yeah, really good voice cast in that show. But it's just a shame that it gets overshadowed by Batman, because I remember him being on at the same exact time.
Right.
And probably, truthfully, liking it just as much.
And it really looks just like it. I mean, best Superman. They went together very well.
And it's honestly, like, still my favorite Superman anything.
Yeah, because they really, instead of making Superman boring, they were like, let's work on his character. And Superman, they made Superman, when he is Superman, a kind of brash and showy.
Yeah.
Which I think, but not in a bad, not in a way that's annoying, but in a cool way. And I think that was a smart move.
They gave the characters a lot of depth. Like, even when they had to bring in heavy hitters, like when they would bring in Darkseid.
Yeah.
Like, it always felt like something big was going on.
That's when a character died, right? Didn't they
Dan Turpin dies. Like, and that was such an insane scene. I remember being a kid watching that and being like, oh, because, like, you never see a character die on those shows.
Yeah.
So, and because I remember Darkseid, like, he's about to leave and he's like, victory comes with a price. And then it looks like he's going to shoot Superman.
Yeah.
And then his laser, like, goes like, boom, 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 and then kills the police commissioner.
Yeah.
And they had that great scene where Superman goes crazy. And then they have the funeral where they draw in all of Jack Kirby's creations.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That is a great show. Very good. So that's the tie, Batman Beyond and Superman.
Yeah, I would say Superman's better than Batman Beyond, but Batman Beyond I think people still sleep on. I think for different reasons you're going back to the DC animated universe. Like, check those out.
All right, I'm going to 1990.
1990.
One season, 13 episodes.
Ooh, what could this be?
Now, this is a cartoon series that was built around a person.
Oh, is this the Ed Grimley cartoon?
No.
Oh.
A person who was in movies.
And
they were like, you're a star, we're going to make a cartoon around you.
A star? We're going to make a cartoon around you.
Maybe star is a strong word, but definitely a household name at the time.
Was this person a movie star or a musician? Yeah. Okay.
Movies.
Oh, God. I don't know.
I'm talking about Gravesdale High... Or, as it's often credited, Rick Moranis in Gravesdale High.
Oh!
Rick Moranis, at the height of his powers, they decide, we're going to make a cartoon show about you. You're going to play...
See, that's a good one, because everyone remembers Camp Candy.
Right. And Camp Candy... Yeah, I love Camp Candy. But this I liked better because I like spooky shit, like Tales from the Crypt.
All the school bells are ringing. Now it's time to begin. It's about our school that we're singing, where the misfits get in.
And the weird thing about Graves, Ohio was it was a high school full of monsters, mm-hmm. you see. And they all had punny names. Mm-hmm. And Rick Moranis was the human teacher that had to sort of suffer them. So imagine, like, Welcome Back, Kotter.
Rick Moranis.
But Rick Moranis and...
And the Sweat Hogs are just a bunch of monsters.
Right. Well, the John Travolta character, who is so, like, literally modeled after John Travolta, mm-hmm. is a character named Vinny Stoker. Like Bram Stoker, and Vinny Stoker flies in the window because he's a Dracula, mm-hmm. and he's like combing his hair, and he's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And he's like doing a Travolta, and you've got my favorite character. There was a mummy called Cleopatra.
Oh, she's fat.
You bet,
mummy.
She was a mummy, a young female mummy who had a weight fly problem. Today. And they treated it with sensitivity and respect. The character is introduced to the pilot as getting stuck in the door of the school bus. And then her schoolmate has to push her out. Her schoolmate, a short little guy named Frankentyke.
Okay.
You already know what he looks like. You've got Mr. Tutmore.
Okay.
Mr. Tutmore is a teacher voiced by Tim Curry.
Oh, wow.
By the way, the voice cast in this is amazing.
You ever There's know a where Cyclops named
Seymour. Do you get it?
Yes.
The pilot is... And the most annoying character? There's a character named Sid, right? And mm-hmm. Sid is the invisible boy. So it's like an invisible man gag.
Yeah.
And he's Maurice LaMarche.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid is... You know, you just see the glasses and the jacket mm-hmm. floating around. Like invisible, like the old Invisible Man movie. But Sid's thing is he wants to be a comedian because he wants attention because no one can see him.
Yeah.
So what Sid does is a lot of impressions. But this is a 1990 cartoon for kids. And his impressions are Jackie Mason, Ronnie Dangerfield, Dudley Moore, Groucho Marx.
Kids love a good Dudley Moore impression.
It's unbelievable. It's so ridiculous. Oh my God. It's so much fun. There's a girl with, like, Medusa, like, snake mm-hmm. hair. In the pilot episode, Sid pretends to be sick just so he can set up a Jackie Mason bit. And, they send him to the real hospital with the real humans. And then Rick Moranis gets all the kids to go to the hospital to visit him, and hijinks ensues, and that's the pilot. Wait, let me read you, besides Rick Moranis, who the show is based around, let me tell you who was on the cast of the show. Doozer was voiced by Kimmy Robertson, who is, what's her name from Twin Peaks? The secretary.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Sheriff Truman's secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy. Frank Welker, of course, mm-hmm. is Frankentyke. Ricky Lake is Cleopatra. Gil Waterman, he's a water monster. Jackie Earl Haley.
Oh, my God. Teenage Jackie Earl Haley.
Rick Moranis is Max Schneider, although it looks like him. And Blanche, who's like an old like witch, she's Shari Belafonte.
What?
Yeah. So all the stars are out. All the stars are out for that cartoon.
Gotta get Belafonte in there.
Oh, you need a Belafonte in there. So it only lasted one season, but it lasted a lifetime on me.
Honorable mention, just because you brought up a show about school.
Yeah.
Did you, speaking of another show that a lot of people want to come back, did you catch in the new Spider-Man movie, the little tease for a possible Clone High movie?
No.
In the scene where Spider-Man's like flying around Times Square and you see all the billboards, there's a fake poster for a Clone College movie.
Oh! Okay.
It's a Lord and Miller project.
Okay.
And they keep teasing that they're eventually going to do a Clone High movie.
Well, I'd like to see it.
I would, too. I love that show.
I loved O'Grady, though. Was that them? Who did O'Grady?
I don't know. That I feel like that would not be them.
Vision one, though. It looked very similar.
It was Squiggle Vision, so it must have been Tom Snyder, which that's a weird thing to think about in Tom Snyder's legacy. Like, you talk show host, and then also...
But is that the same Tom Snyder? I always thought it was two different guys.
No, it's the same Tom Snyder, because in Dr. Katz, Tom Snyder would show up.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right, what else you got?
Okay. So my last one
All right, I'm excited.
Which is really three. You're really going to get your bang for your buck
Holy
here.
Holy shit.
This
is a free podcast?
Yeah.
Holy shit, guys.
This is the...
Subscribe, rate, and review.
This is the... You want to talk about 90s actors. This is the trifecta of Jim Carrey cartoons.
Oh, shit.
The Dumb and Dumber cartoon, the Ace Ventura cartoon, and the Mask cartoon. If I had to rate them, I would say Dumb and Dumber is definitely the bottom.
I remember what they look like. I don't remember anything about their quality. That's something they all kind of were bad.
Yeah. I think the Ace Ventura one lasted a little longer.
They were concurrent, too.
That's what I was going to say. Like, that's the weird thing. Like,
well, didn't all those movies come out in the same year?
I don't know about the same year.
An insane, like, year?
He had an insane, like... 2 years or something like that. Because, yeah, they did all come out around the same time.
I remember them being concurrent on different networks, though.
Yeah, like ABC had the Dumb and Dumber one. I think, like, the Ace Ventura one might have been syndicated, so it was on, like, UPN.
I think I liked the Ace Ventura one.
I liked the Ace Ventura one, too. And then the Mask one, I feel like wasn't on as much. I feel like that was also syndicated.
Yeah.
But it was, like, it was more based on the comic book.
Yeah.
Like, it was way more serious. I kind of appreciated it for that.
Yeah, I mean, that one was the one that had some legs to stand on because it was based on a comic book property.
Yeah, so it was them kind of going, like, hey, this movie is our excuse
when they did shit like that, like a Dumb and Dumber animated series, that's actually, like, a tall order. Because it's like, take a movie that is an adult movie...
It's not for kids.
Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber all came out in 1994.
Wow.
1994.
That was his year.
He fucking owned that year.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick Moranis. It's a tall order to say, like, okay, it's this one movie, this one story. You have to build a Bible, build a backstory, but it also can't be the same level of raunchiness as the movie. That's crazy, really.
Yeah, that's like, I always think about the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Which is like, kind of good.
The cartoon's great, but the movie, if you've never seen it, it basically like kind of like kidnaps and rapes this girl.
Yeah, I think that with the Beetlejuice cartoon, they were like, let's make them best friends. Right, let's take the name, let's take the design, and then let's add a bunch of people, like a French skeleton.
Oh, that's right. Add a French skeleton.
Okay, so since we're doing honorable mentions, I want to mention a syndicated series called Extreme Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God.
Boom, 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 boom. Imagine the Ghostbusters theme, but it's extreme. And it's, like, very, like, new metal. It's like, when it's not strange. It, like, sounds like Wannabe Corn. In your neighborhood. You got power. And, you had... That was the first female Ghostbuster. How about that, men's rights activist? Yeah. Where were you in the 90s?
Also, I love this whole Ghostbusters saga that's been going on in the media lately.
Yeah.
Where at first it's like, oh, what did Jason Reitman say? Like, is he doing something? What's he up to? Then, very quickly, it's like, Swerve, the movie's about a single mom. It's like, whoa, what?
Right, it's not Ghostbusters 3. It's just another reboot.
But it's just in the continuity universe. Of the old
ones. Yeah. The female Ghostbuster from Extreme Ghostbusters, she's now been made into canon because she plays Janine's assistant in the same character as Janine's assistant in the IDW comics.
Okay.
So, because the IDW comics are interesting because they tie everything together. Even like the 2016 Ghostbusters, they're from a different universe.
Yeah.
All right. So, my last one, and this one's not spooky. It's a little off. And actually, what was surprising about this is I couldn't find any clips of it. It's really hard to find stuff.
Really?
So, this one's going back. This is my oldest entry.
Ooh, oldest entry. Let's see if I can guess this.
Okay, I like this game. Okay, so this is... There was a craze... After the Muppet Babies, there was a craze of let's make baby versions of things. So this was one of those.
Is this... I'm either thinking of the Baby Flintstones or the pup named Scooby-Doo.
From 1986, the Flintstone Kids.
Flintstone Kids, yep.
Absolutely. The Flintstone Kids.
Because that was them and Captain Caveman.
Right. And together. Captain Caveman, which was had been a show in the 70s.
Yeah, they like shoehorned them together.
Right.
Kinda.
The kids would be watching, the Fred and the other kids would be watching Captain Caveman on their TV.
Yeah.
And then you would just see Captain Caveman. It would be like an interstitial.
Yeah, Captain Caveman was like the U.S. Acres of that Garfield
yes,
show.
Yes, exactly. And it's Bonnie, Betty, Wilma, and Fred. They're all kids. There's also a puppy, Dino, which breaks canon because Dino, they get Dino in the pilot, but whatever. And I love the way they look. They kind of look squat and little and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it doesn't make sense, it was because it was made in the 80s, it was like Flintstone-y versions of 80s stuff instead of like the original Flintstones, it's Flintstone-y versions of 60s stuff. So like, the remote control, or the clicker, is you have a remote control made of rock, of course. You click it, and then a bird flies out of it and changes the channel.
Oh, yeah.
Which you wouldn't have had in the original Flintstones. And it was adorable, and
didn't it do that trend that a lot of shows did in the 80s where halfway through the episode you needed a musical number?
Oh, I think there would be. I think there would be.
Because that Pup Named Scooby-Doo did that.
Although, I love Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Pup Named Scooby-Doo is maybe my favorite Scooby-Doo thing.
Yeah, it's the best Scooby-Doo property, for sure.
Yeah.
It fleshed out the characters. Like, Daphne had no character before that.
Yeah.
That was a show that made Daphne into, like, a stuck-up, like, rich girl.
And now they're doing, or I think they just released, like, a new Scooby-Doo movie, like, animated movie. That's a continuation of the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
They also just released a live-action movie called Daphne and Velma.
Yeah, that, like, went straight to Netflix
or
something.
Yeah, I watched, like, 2 minutes of it, and the wigs were so bad.
I was gonna say,
Jesus Christ, they couldn't even get a good wig?
No.
Any more honorable mentions from you?
Oh, honorable mentions.
I could talk about this stuff all day.
Oh, my God. Honorable mentions. I was going to pick for one of my CBS shows. I'm blanking on the name of it right now. I want to say it's like Santa Baguito or something. It was like a show that was from the same production company as Rugrats, that like Clapsley Coopso, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So it had that style, but it was like a Western with like bugs.
What? I have zero memory of this. Really?
Yeah.
A Western with bugs? Like they had little hats on?
Oh, yeah. Because I remember like it was on after Felix. So I was going to do that. Let me look this up right now.
And this was CBS, you said?
Yeah.
CBS also, I think CBS, their rock was Garfield and Friends.
Garfield, that was Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. But Ninja Turtles originally was first run syndication. It wasn't It wasn't until later that it went to CBS, and CBS even toned it down more. Remember, in CBS, Michelangelo didn't have nunchucks anymore.
Oh, that's right.
He just used, like, a grappling hook or whatever.
Yeah, this had, like, crazy animation.
What's it called?
It's Santo Bugito. S-A-N-T-O.
You get it?
B-U-G-I-T-O.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind watching this again. This looks really fun.
Try to find it. I'm trying to find a show that was a Saturday morning show. It actually wasn't animated. Here it is. From 1992, The Amazing Lives Sea Monkeys, starring Howie Mandel as a sea monkey. And okay, remember, all right, in the 60s, you used to sell like sea monkeys in the back of comics. The plot was someone got sea monkeys, but like they just didn't die and they lived and they grew into like people size, and it was just sea monkeys. It was like a sitcom with sea monkeys.
Oh my God. I have a good sort of catch-all honorable mention.
Yeah.
All the ABC Disney animated shows that were based on the movies from the time. Like The Little Mermaid.
Oh, okay.
The Timon and Pumbaa show.
Okay. I thought you meant like those reboots like Chip and Dale Adventures, Tailspin, DuckTales.
Oh no, those were their own thing.
Yeah,
like, you're they talking were definitely about,
I don't remember Little Mermaid cartoon.
I only vaguely remember it. I remember it being, I don't know, I just remember it existing. Like, it not being, I remember the Timon and Pumbaa one more, because that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah,
like, I would
yeah.
want them to have their own, like, sitcom.
Speaking of Disney, one of the interesting things also about the 80s was almost all of these cartoon properties had theatrical run movies. There was a Care Bears movie, there was a He-Man movie in theaters, which is what introduced She-Ra. There was a G.I. Joe movie. There was the Transformers movie, which is famous for killing a lot of them for no other reason than they wanted new toys.
Yeah.
There was a Rainbow Bright movie, which the reviews are weird because it ended up being weirdly scary. but the big thing with the Care Bear movie was that at the same time Disney's The Black Cauldron came out and Care Bear just decimated it.
Really?
Decimated it.
Oof.
Because at that time, Disney had been sort of floundering for a while after. Because the next year, then, they do Little Mermaid, and they kind of get back on track.
Yeah.
Cartoons, guys, there'll be more episodes about cartoons in the future. There's so much to talk about with cartoons.
Yeah, there'll be more.
Vin, thanks for being on today and talking about some cartoons with me.
Oh, my God. I hope to come back.
I don't know about you, but I feel like a big bowl of Fruity Pebbles right now.
Oh, my God. Underrated 90s cereals. Let's do it.
Big bowl of Fruity Pebbles superior to Cocoa Pebbles. Cocoa Pebbles still good. I think Fruity Pebbles superior.
Well, yeah, I would say Fruity Pebbles. When you make the Fruity Pebbles like Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
And then there'd always be the sociopath in your class who mixed them. That could grow up to be a psycho.
That's John Wayne Gacy. That's
all right, everybody. This has been Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today with Mr. Vin Forte.
My God.
Thank you for being here today, Vin.
I can't wait to go eat some Fruity Pebbles now.
And we end this episode the way we end every episode, with quoting an 80s cartoon, Go Bye Bye.
Go Bye Bye.